Brother, you have me on at all? Praise the Lord. Amen. Am I on now? I was on before, wasn't I? Everything begins to go when you get old. We're going to read from the book of Psalm 63 here tonight. What a beautiful spirit in the house of the Lord tonight. There's nothing like coming into his presence, feeling his power, knowing that he's a loving, caring God. We're going to pray about a couple of things before we read. So you know where we're going to read. Just put that aside. But there's two things I want to pray for. One, we mentioned his name earlier. His name's James. He's Lorraine's son. I don't know his age. He's got to be in his late 30s. He's 33. Wow, that's much younger than I thought. And he has suffered all of his life. When he was 4 or 5 years old, he found out that his bladder was not right, and they had to do surgery, and then his kidneys fell, and he's been on dialysis for years. And now he's reached the place where he's on dialysis every day. So 4 hours every day. And when you go through dialysis, of course, I only know this from people telling me. I certainly don't know it from experience. But even when it's every other day, it's difficult because you do it, you're tired all the next day, and then you're right back in it again. So when you've got someone that's on it every day, it's a very difficult thing. We were talking with him about a lot of things, visiting him in the hospital and spent some time. He prayed through just a couple of weekends ago, right here in our altars, prayed through to the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's known, been in and out of church throughout his life, but it had been a long time, long years since he had prayed through the Holy Ghost. So that was a tremendous victory in his life. He's got a great battle going on right now in his mind, not only in his body, but in his mind. He's tired. And so we spoke with him today, and I told him that you can't give up till God gives up. And that I understand your condition. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But the Lord knows you're able. And this is going to sound weak as water, but it's as true as it can get. That in that dialysis room, every day, James, there will be 6 to 11 people that will be rolled into that same room who do not know God. And only someone who understands their condition and their pain can truly have an impact on them when they look at them square in the eyes and say, God can help you. I couldn't say that to them. They would look at me and go, yeah, Mr. Healthy. I said, James, God can use you right now like you are in your condition. God can use you in a way that can't use anyone else. So I'm bringing him a Bible study tomorrow, and he's promised me he's going to learn it. And then learn it for himself so that he can teach others this Bible study. And I said, James, men and women will be able to be rolled out of this dialysis machine. You may never see them again. They may not live another day. But they will have heard the word of God. And there will be those that God will continue to work on and minister to and the plan of salvation will be in their heart. So I want us to pray for James and ask God to give him strength. I told James, I said, James, God is going to meet you every morning. You're going to feel him. Every morning he's going to walk into your room and he's going to give you the strength to go another day. I'm not telling you God won't heal you. I certainly know he can. But I don't know what the Lord's going to do. You're hearing a young man, well, not young anymore. You're hearing a man today that watched his mother suffer and die, suffer until the day she died. But I also know that God used her mightily. Many registered nurses prayed through to the Holy Ghost in her room from a blind little crippled lady. So I know that God can use James in this condition. I told him, son, don't lay there being hopeless in life. There's a lot God can do with you. So we're going to pray that the Lord will touch his mind, touch his heart, his spirit, and help him until the Lord does whatever he's decided to do. God is sovereign. His name is James. Father, we come to you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just ask you today, Lord, we pray. Oh, God, we're so thankful for our health. Lord, we drove ourselves to this place today. We walked in here, Lord, on our own two feet. Oh, Jesus, we are so thankful for your goodness in our life. We are so thankful. You are so wonderful to us, God. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. And Lord, I ask that you take this spirit that's in this place right now and that you go into that hospital room where James is and you speak to him, God. You minister to him in the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that in the morning when his eyes are opened, woo, hallelujah, your spirit will be there to abide upon him, to hover about him. And Lord, that you would give him a strength, and God, that you will encourage him, Lord, to witness, encourage him to talk about you, because we know, Father, that our joy comes from that. Our joy comes from that, God, by speaking about you, teaching about you. Oh, it brings a joy that nothing else in this world can bring. Touch him, give him strength in his body, strength in his mind. We ask it, and let's do that. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's clap our hands and thank the Lord for touching him. Father, we love you, we praise you, we adore you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I wrote down here also, Brother Warren, I want us to continue, please, to remember him. I was on the phone with him today. The doctors pretty much told him today that he has an incurable disease and that they can try to prolong his death, but possibly a year. Everything went perfect, maybe three. And, of course, they're just being honest with him. But we know that the Lord is a healer. In fact, I'm going to show you the Lord's a healer. I got a phone call today from Missionary Herod, and they just had a conference in Africa with the A-team. In that conference, 18 people who were 100% deaf, God opened their ears in that conference, and they can hear. In that conference, he said, I cannot count how many physical tumors disappeared while hands were being laid on people that God was healing. He said, blind eyes were open. We watched a leg that was 3 inches shorter than the other one physically grow in our presence as people were healed. He said, but the greatest miracle of all was 900 received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So the Lord's a healer. Somebody shout, the Lord's a healer. The Lord is a healer. And I know that he can heal Pastor Warren of this cancer. And I'm asking you to continue, please, when you get up in the morning, your time of prayer, remember Pastor Raymond Warren in Okeechobee. And I want to say thank you to the most giving church on planet Earth. You gave last Sunday in that offering $2,000 to that special offering. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. And because of that, and because of some other pastors that we've been communicating with, the person that's doing all of the renovations, the carpet, the flooring, the electronically, everything, all the painting, though, everything that was touched, everything that was hurt, everything that was ruined, he said, we now have more than enough money to make everything new. Praise God. I know you've been standing for a while. You can be seated. I'll read the word while you're sitting down. Now, this is your homework. Look at your neighbor and say, you have homework. Okay. When you go home tonight, everyone say tonight, you are to go to your closet and get every pair of used shoes that you can spare. Not every pair. All our shoes are used, of course. But pairs that you know you can spare. I'm not sure about high heels, but I know they're going to be doctoring up the shoes, so they might knock the heel off or something. But I don't see the young ladies walking around high heels, but over there. However, maybe in other places. So they didn't specify, so bring everything that you have. So when you go home, you're going to take those shoes and you're going to put them by the door that you go out every day so that they'll be there on Sunday. You can put them in a bag. If you've got 25 pairs, and most of you do, women, 25 pairs of shoes that you want to collect, then go ahead and put them in a bag because they're bagging them 25 per bag. And all of these shoes are being shipped to Haiti, and it's a program, shoes, Souls for Souls, I think is what they're calling the program. Souls for Souls. And you can figure out which spelling goes which one. But all right, so let's do that. Will you help, Pastor? Amen? All right, and we'll send out some reminders, but I think that will help us if we'll do that. In Psalms chapter 63 and verse number 1, we're going to talk here tonight for a few minutes on the subject, the soul that prays. We're going to talk about prayer just a little bit. I'm excited about prayer because I know prayer is the answer to all things. And that if we can bring our need before the Lord, as we well know, it won't always be answered the way we want to see it answered. But every prayer is heard and every prayer is answered. I believe it when we pray it in faith and we pray it in His will, it will come to pass. And so prayer is a very important part of our lives as apostolics. It is our communication. And I just want to talk a little bit about prayer. David says in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God. He says, early I will seek thee. I have a study. I may redo it. Morning prayer is not mandatory, but you find it so prevalent in the Word of God and all of the things that take place in morning prayer. And then another part of that is that we also talked about that if, depending on which shift of work that you may work, your morning might be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's morning somewhere, right? So just join them. But whatever time of the day that you arise, that is your beginning, your morning, your beginning. And I think that's really what the Bible is stressing, is start your day out with God. So no matter what time that might be. So David says here, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Everybody say thirst. Say, I thirst for God. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory. So I'm going to seek your face, God. I thirst for you. I hunger after you. And the reason I'm going to seek your face, God, is I want to see thy power and I want to see your glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast helped me, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. What a psalm. What a psalm of praise. I will seek after thee, O God. You uphold me, O God. You are my help and my strength, O God. My soul thirsts after thee, O God. My flesh hungers after thee, O God. I want you. I need you. I've got to have you. And I'm going to start every day out with you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, just a moment longer. Thirst after him for a moment. Will you do it? Hunger after him, but for a moment. Jesus, we love you. We praise 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 you. Hallelujah. I know I'm preaching to the Wednesday night crowd, but let me say it anyway. Oh, I long for the day when prayer is not something that I feel I have to do, but prayer is something I long after. Oh, the day when I lay my head upon the pillow at night and go to sleep saying, oh God, I can't wait for the sun to rise. I can't wait for my soul to awaken, because when it does, I'll be back in your presence, oh God. I long to talk to you. I long to seek you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's worship him for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say it, I long for thee, Lord. There are those prayers which too often we pray, which are nothing but prayers of lips, just words rolling off of our lips, but our mind is distracted. We find ourselves speaking to God and then catch ourselves actually thinking about daily activities. And we say, oh, Lord, forgive us. Because prayer had become just such a habit, we were able to be distracted in another direction. But prayer, friend, should always be a heart heartfelt thing. Communication with God. We know how it is with one another. It's very annoying when you're talking to someone and they look like they're listening, but you can tell they're really not. And don't ever ask them a question because you know they're not going to be able to answer it. And then, of course, it even gets a little bit more upsetting when it's the spouse, right? And he or she is trying to say something. My wife would say it to me all the time. I know you're looking at me, but you're not looking at me. You're looking through me. There's something over there out in space that you're thinking about while I'm talking to you. And I'd shake my head and I'd say, oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry. Oh, okay, you were just telling me about this. She said, no, I told you about that 5 minutes ago. So we know how annoying that can be. So imagine God omnipotent, God knowing all things and being all places. And here we are with our hands raised and our lips are moving, but our mind is somewhere else. Oh, God, Lord, help us and forgive us of such things, oh, Lord. When we lift our hands to you, let our focus be on you and no one else. Let our heart be drawn to you and to nothing else. Let us hunger and thirst after you. Jesus noted the difference between lip service or lip prayer and heart prayer. He said of the religious leaders in Matthew 15 and 8, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. He spoke the same principle in Luke 6 and 46. He said, why do you call me Lord, but you do not do the things that I command? What a contrast when David the psalmist in Psalms 25 and 1, when he says, to thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul, that I might trust, that my soul might sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. And then in 35 and 9, he says, and my soul shall rejoice in the Lord, and it shall be exalted in his salvation. And then he goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It sounds like a man that was wrapped up in his prayer. It sounds like a man that when he spoke to God, his whole soul, his mind, and his body was wrapped up in it. I pray that God would help us tonight to find that kind of a prayer life, that when we go to him, our entire being is wrapped up in it. Nothing else for the moment matters. Everything else is put off the side. My soul is wrapped up. My mind is wrapped up. My energies is wrapped up. I'm in prayer with my God. I'm in communication with my Lord. I'm speaking to the lover of my soul, the healer of my body. Oh, yes, I am intimate with my Savior. Prayer. So we look a little bit into the Word and find out what kind of a soul should we bring to God in prayer. Everybody say a thirsty soul. Say a seeking soul. You see, the thirsty soul, it yearns for God. There's something deep down on the inside that turns and hungers after God. It's like that fresh and first love, that what we would call puppy love. And you watch your young son or your daughter go into their room and you know they can't wait for the next day to text again to the pretty little girl or the pretty little boy. And then when their heart gets broken, oh, you hurt for them. They think the end of the world has come. Everything has come to a cease because the love of their life at 9 years old has chosen another and gone another path. But still, the feelings were there, weren't they? and they were real and the emotions were strong. Oh God, let my love for you be like a first love. Let my desire for you be a yearning, oh God, and a hunger. Everybody say thirsty. So the thirsty soul yearns for God, seeks after God earnestly, literally, does it early or as soon as possible, doesn't like the gaps of time, doesn't like for it to go too long, because there's a yearning and a hunger and a desire on the inside. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Matthew 6 and 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. David says again in Psalms 27 and 8, when thou didst say, seek my face, my heart said to thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. When thou said to me, seek thy face, my heart said, O Lord, thy face will I seek. In Psalms 14 and 2, the Lord has looked down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there be any who understand, who seek after God. I say, O God, look upon us tonight, because there's a room here tonight filled with men and women who hunger after you. We thirst after you. We want to know you more than we've ever have known you. We desire to be in your presence and to feel your power. Oh, and so we seek after him. Look what David says in verse 2. He said, thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. Oh, friend, I want to tell you, there's nothing like coming to the house of God, because there's a lot of times I can't seem to do it on my own. Days just been too hard. Things have been just too difficult. My mind is just too distracted. I've got news that was just too bad, and I just can't seem to get into that realm. But there's something about it when I walk into the house of God and God's brothers, sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters are there. I don't know. It just something begins to happen. And when I lift my hands, I begin to feel his glory. David said, if I can't get it out there, I know where to go. I'll get to the house of God. I'll make it to the house of God. There's just something about it when you come together with others that are hungry, others that are thirsty, others that are desiring, others that are seeking. It's contagious. Has a way of getting a hold of you. Has a way of making your problems fall to the background and your desires come out in the front. I got to have you, God. I need to have you. So David says, thus I beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. We read the Psalms of David and we read the Word of God. We see how often he frequent the house of God. I love it when he says things like, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to have any other position anywhere else that there might be. Oh yeah, one day in the house of God is better than 1,000 anywhere else that I can go. You see, David had a revelation. No one of the Bible tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Even so much more as you see that day approaching, as the end time comes, as this world becomes an untoward generation, as this world goes away from God and things get worse. And our kids, oh, mom and dad, here, pastor, tonight, your kids are subjected to all kinds of junk during the week in school. They hear all kinds of foul language. They hear all kinds of dirty jokes. They're taught things that don't make a lick of sense. Science calls it real. They call things that are theory, they call them actual. And things that are actual, they call them theory. and they're trying to twist their minds and their hearts and their brains. Oh, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you need to get that young man and young lady by the hand. It don't matter how tired you are. It don't matter how bad you feel. You get that son and daughter and you get them to the house of God, because in the house of God, they're going to feel His presence. They're going to hear things that are powerful and true and change their life forever. They're going to be next to a brother and a sister. They're going to feel the thirst. They're going to feel the hunger after God, and something's going to wake up in them, and they're going to begin to pray. They're going to begin to talk to God. There's something about God's house. Oh, we have to bring our sons and daughters to the house of God. Don't ever let them feel that it's just a choice. It doesn't really matter. That, well, you can or you can't, or not tonight, we're tired, we'll go. Well, no, no, no. The house of God. You see, Mom, you wasn't there when their minds was being filled with all the junk today. You wasn't sitting in the classroom when that teacher was teaching them things so foreign from God. Or the professor. Oh, we've got to get them to the house of God. And so David talks about frequently entering into the house of God. Because there, he says, I can talk to you. There, I can communicate with you. There, I have such a beautiful relationship with you. In Psalms 34 and verse number 4, it says, I sought the Lord and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And I think I'm reading from the NKJV, QST, something. So it might be a word or two off. He answered me and He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. I think the King James Version says are enlightened, but it means to have a radiance about you. They are radiant. Their faces are covered with shame. The poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamped about those who fear Him, and He delivers them. I love it. It all started out with, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord and He delivered me. I sought the Lord and He took my fears from me. I sought the Lord and my body began to glow with His glory. I sought the Lord and He took shame from me. I sought the Lord and He provided for me. I sought the Lord and He took care of my troubles. I sought the Lord and an angel came. I sought after him. It wasn't something nonchalant. It wasn't just a lazy prayer. I sought after Him. I hungered after Him. I thirst after Him. And I called out to Him, and He heard my cry. And when He heard my cry, He came to my deliverance. He came to my help. Oh, Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, I'm trying to get us to understand there is nothing more powerful than prayer. Nothing more powerful in prayer. Those who look to Him are, verse 5, those who look to Him are enlightened. The soul that seeks the Lord, the one that looks to Him, He directs his thoughts to Him. I sought the Lord, and He delivered. We have the most powerful tool, yet the most simplistic. It's not complicated. It's not getting the Bible out and thumbing through and finding the right combination of words. And that if you don't say it just right, it doesn't work. Abracadabra. The spell has to be just right. The ingredients have to be just right. The condition has to be just right. Everything has to be just perfect for the black magic to work. But not prayer. You can be anywhere, anytime, going through anything. It can be a day when you have a lot, or it can be a day when you don't have a lot. It can be a day when you feel good, or it can be a day when you feel really bad. It can be a day when everybody said nice things to you, or it can be a day when everybody said bad things to you. You see, the conditions don't matter. Situation doesn't matter. You don't have to get the words just right. God don't care if you say ain't. Ain't don't bother God. No, don't bother him at all. Don't mess with him. You can talk with a Cajun accent, or you can talk with a Yankee accent. You can talk with an England accent, or you can talk with a Haitian accent. You can talk with a Liberian accent, or you can talk with a Jamaican accent. You can talk with a Nicaraguan accent, or you can talk with a Honduras accent. You can talk in French, you can talk in Spanish, you can talk in English, you can talk in Russian. It don't matter. Prayer works. What matters is you seek him. What matters is you call out to him. What matters is you give him all of your attention, all of your focus, everything to him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel something in this place here tonight. I'm telling you, the power of prayer is in the house. If somebody would stop right now and begin to call out to God about your situation, I'm here to tell you, God's going to hear you. I said, God's going to hear you. You're in the house of God. You're surrounded by the faith of God's kids. Why don't you give it a shot? Come on. Some of you called me to day. You got a problem, yet you're not moving right now. I'm telling you how the problem can get solved. Hallelujah! 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 Those that are seeking him right now, they're feeling it. Those that are calling out to him right now, there's already been a difference made. The power of prayer, power of prayer, power of prayer. Woo! Power of prayer penetrates every barrier, goes around every obstacle. Come on now. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can stop it. Daniel, I heard you the first time you opened your mouth. Prayer came to me. Nothing stopped your prayer. Yeah, we had to fight a few battles in heaven, but we knocked him out. And now here we are. We're not late. We're right on time. I'm here to tell you, when you open your mouth to God, he hears. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Our soul ought to be drawn to God like metal is drawn to a magnet. We get even close to his presence, there ought to be something that starts pulling on us. It ought to be when we feel him. It's like, you know, anyone that has any kind of flowers or even trees, as far as that goes. But you'll look at them and you'll go, why are they all leaning that way? Because that's where the sun's at. And they're trying to reach out there and get as much of him as they can. They're not leaning over here and playing with the shade. They're not interested in the shade. They want the sun. Why? Because in the shade, they'll get weak. In the shade, their leaves will turn if they don't get the sun. Their leaves will turn color and brown and die and fall. They're leaning towards the old sun. We play in the shade too much, folks. I That's what's kind of confusing to me. It's kind of hard for me to understand that someone can come to the house of God and God can begin to move and you still don't lean in that direction. You're still just as stiff as before God started moving. You're a tree planted by the waters on the wrong river. You got your roots in the wrong thing. And they're deep and they're strong. And even when the sun comes by, you don't lean in that direction. When God begins to move in a surface, just like he did just a moment ago, and you don't lean in that direction, that needs to tell you something. Something's not right. Something's not going on right on the inside. I must have lost my communication, and I've lost my communication so much I'm not even interested in talking anymore. We ought to be drawn to it. God is our chief desire, as the psalmist says in Psalms 42 and 1. He says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. Jeremiah said it this way. In Jeremiah 29 and 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. That's not talking about an emotion. That's talking about your whole being. Your hopes, your aspirations, your desires, your dreams, your finances, your time, your energy. You shall find me when you seek me with all of your heart, with all of you. A lot of us have been seeking, but we haven't been finding, because we only seek him in the area we hurt. We just seek him in the area we need. Huh? When we have a need in that area, we give that to him. But we're still reserving everything else because we're okay over there. Nobody hurting. I'm not hurting over here. It's just right here. And we seek God and we seek him for that need rather than obeying his word. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that need shall be added unto you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord. So a thirsty soul is a soul that seeks after God. A satisfied soul, David talks about being satisfied, is one that learns to not just seek after him, but praise him. In verse 3 of our text, the Bible talks about his loving kindness, which is better than life. His bounties of the marrow and the fatness of the bone, which means lush portions. And then verse 7, his help, his deliverance, his rescue. God becomes his everything. Because he seeks him with everything. I believe that our lives would be changed forever if our prayer life would change. And if our concept of prayer would change. And what prayer really is. I'm not going to meddle tonight because I don't want to leave this on a bad note. I'm famous for that. But we have so designed prayer as a tool that just simply takes care of our problems. That we have lost what prayer really is. Prayer is not even about your problems. Prayer is about our relationship with God, our communication with God. And while we talk to Him, we can mention a couple situations. All right? That's what God's about. He's there to take care of it. But that's not what prayer's about. Brother stood in this pulpit. I can't remember who it was, but he was talking about the Lord's Prayer. It might have been Brother Luma. And he was talking about that when Jesus describes the Lord's Prayer, He's way down the list before He gets to your needs. And you know why? Because He knows your need before you ever ask. Knowing your need, okay, praying is not necessary for God to know your need. So, if prayer is not necessary for God to know your need, since He knows your need before you ever ask, then prayer must not be about your need. Now, don't misunderstand, Pastor. I know what the Bible says. You have not because you ask not. But we relate that to money, healing, things. Whatever happened to the word when Jesus said, yeah, I'm going to answer your prayer when you pray according to my will. Well, what is the will of God? It's the kingdom of God. You want God to take care of your physical needs? Get involved in His kingdom. Learn how to pray about His kingdom. My Lord have mercy. I want to tell you, our life would change, Brother Geraldo. Our life would change if we would learn to get on our knees and we were so consumed about the lost and overwhelmed about our neighbor that's dying and going to hell. That the only thing we can pray about is the kingdom of God. Oh, God, your kingdom, let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. Help me to add to your kingdom. And our prayer is just consumed about the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, the kind of God we serve, you won't be able to stop the blessings from flowing into your life. And every need that you was going to pray about, God's just going to reach about there and take care of that need because you were so consumed about the kingdom of God. There are a lot of things in this world. I'm going to come to a close. There's a lot of things in this world that bring us satisfaction. My wife's cooking brings me satisfaction. My wife is the greatest cook on planet Earth. She really is. I love her cooking, and my kids love her cooking. And we'll eat other people's cooking. We'll do it. We'll suffer through it and make it happen. I'm just kidding for all you wonderful people that cook for me, by the way. But we love Elizabeth's cooking. And it satisfies us completely. There's a lot of things that would do that. You work a hard day and you finally, how many of you know when you've been working really hard all day, you're really tired, and you know that you cannot sit down. If you sit down, it's over. But you got a couple more things to do, right? So the last thing you're going to do is sit down. However, when it's finally done, there's nothing more satisfying than sitting down in that old lounge chair, whatever it is you happen to sit in, and get that nice cold drink of water, because everything else is bad for you. It's satisfying. That's what David was talking about. Lord, I labor in the world of sin all day. All the things I have to walk through. And there's just something about coming into your presence. Satan has, and not just Satan, the world in general, the way the world works, the system of the world, has so preoccupied us, and we are all guilty of this. Pulpit to the officer out in the parking lot. We have become so busy that we try to find that little place where we can fit God. And we spend the rest of the day working in our deceived little mind to bring satisfaction to us in some form or fashion. When the only thing that can really satisfy us is the thing that we gave the smallest amount of time. But you know what's amazing about God? 5 or 10 minutes when you start your day, just 10 minutes, really in His presence, will carry you for the rest of the day. It's amazing. It's amazing. Let's stand. Got a lot more here, but maybe another time. I want the Lord to not radically change our concept of thinking concerning prayer, because I found radical changes have a way of radically changing back. You ever notice that? You make this big commitment for 2 days. That's why New Year's resolutions. You know, the best New Year's resolution you could ever make is make a New Year's resolution that says next year you're going to make a New Year's resolution. You will always keep that resolution, and it'll last all year long, waiting for the next one. But that's about the only one. I found out that if we're really going to change right, that we have to change just a lot of time. But we have to constantly do it. And then one day you'll wake up and you'll be so far away from where you used to be by just making small little changes. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord to help. We're going to ask Him to begin to speak to us in our prayer about what He wants us to pray about. And I promise you, you pray about what God wants you to pray about, and He will take care of anything that you intended to pray about. He'll take care of it in some form or fashion. So we're going to ask the Holy Ghost to help us. The next time we pray, now not this time, because we're going to pray about what I want to pray about now. And that's the Lord helping us pray about what he wants us to pray about. That's what I want to pray about. But then in the morning, you watch. You get on your knees and just begin to worship him a little bit. But in your mind, say, now, Lord, I want you to give me something you would like for me to pray about. And I'm here to tell you he will put it. In fact, you'll have to go, whoa, let's take this one thing at a time. I've only got 5 minutes, Jesus. Let's cut the list short. But not only will he tell you what to pray about, but you will know immediately in the spirit the effectiveness of your prayer. Have you ever been worshiping? I know I got you standing, but this is it. I'm done. Have you ever been worshiping or in prayer and you're praying about a certain thing and then out of habit, you change it and go to something else, and the Spirit goes, shh. You go, whoa. And you go back to what you pray, and the Spirit goes, because that's what he wanted you to pray about. And he doesn't want you to leave. But, Lord, you don't understand. I got 3 things on my list. We've got to get to these things, Jesus. It happens, doesn't it? There's something about it when you're praying and you are praying about what the Spirit is wanting you to intercede about. It makes all the difference in the world in the effectiveness of your prayer. It affects your mind, your soul, your spirit. So we're going to pray and we're going to ask the Lord to help us that when we get up in the morning or whatever your cycle is, when you rise, and you take your time to pray, I certainly hope that is a part of your life. And I know we're busy. And I know that 5 minutes feels good. But try to push yourself out of bed a few minutes early and begin to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to put something on our mind to pray about. And when you begin to pray, what God puts on your heart, it will change everything in your prayer. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. Every one of us in this building, Father, we just begin to seek you in our hearts and our minds. And as your word says, seek after me, long for me. Father, we're here tonight. We've heard from you. We've heard from your word, oh God. Lord, we want our prayers to be effective. Lord, the prayer of a righteous man is availeth much. God, we want our prayers to be effective. Lord, we want to be in the Spirit. We want to hear from you, as the word of the Lord says, that we will pray in the Spirit and utter things that we don't know about, and that you will lead us in prayer and teach us and guide us. And Father, we're just asking you right now, we're asking you to help nudge us in the right direction concerning prayer. Father, just a little closer to you concerning prayer. And Lord, that when we get up in the morning, Father, we're going to ask you, Lord, speak to me what you want me to pray about. And oh God, I will seek you about it. I will seek your face about it. And Lord, I know that you're going to confirm that in our hearts. You're going to confirm it in our minds. And you're going to let us know without a doubt the power of this kind of prayer. When we are praying the will of God, when we are praying the kingdom of God, Lord, when we have asked the Spirit, show us and lead us, that we might pray in the Holy Ghost, that we might pray in the Spirit. And Father, I'm asking you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that when we do this, Lord, there are needs. And every individual that is in this place, Lord, here, there are needs. And I ask you, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you're going to begin to answer those needs even though they do not mention them, because you know them before they even ask. Lord, but while they are praying what you have called them to prayer, Lord, you're going to move in these areas of their life. You're going to do things that are miraculous and powerful, Father. And we just thank you and we glorify you for it, Lord. We praise you for it. You are mighty. You are mighty. You are mighty. You are mighty. Oh, God. Oh, we thirst after you. We hunger after you. Hallelujah. We want you, Jesus. We want to be in your will and our prayers, oh God. Jesus, in your mighty name, in your mighty name, in your mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let's love him. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We bless you, 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 Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. I love you. The greatest people in the world. Thank you for being faithful on Wednesday nights. Hug one another. Love one another. Be praying for Pastor over the next few days. Our situation that we're working on, everything is looking fantastic. So just keep it in prayer. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, if you'd have been at prayer on Thursday night, you'd know what I was talking about. So God bless you. We'll see you at prayer Thursday night, and you'll find out what I'm talking about. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Hold on one second. We need two ladies to come see my wife that will say they will cook a meal. You don't have to cook it. You can buy it if you want to, but whatever is up to you. We need Thursday and Friday. Would someone please come see my wife, a couple of ladies, and let her know that you will help take care of this meal for our sister. We have to remember our brothers and sisters. Amen?